Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I've entitled The Believer's Authority. This is my fifth week of teaching, and this week will be the end of my teaching on the believer's authority. I've been offering a six-part CD set on the believer's authority. I also have DVDs, two different types, one taken directly from our television programs, one that was made at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. And then we've got this brand new book that's out entitled The Believer's Authority, and the subtitle is What You Didn't Learn in Church. Boy, that is really descriptive of a lot of the things that I've been saying. And then we've also got a study guide. This is nearly 400 pages that we have put all of this teaching into a format where you can disciple other people in Bible studies or Sunday school classes and things like that. It's also a great way for you to get hold of this truth on your own. But we will be offering those materials all of this week. But this week is the end of my teaching on the believer's authority. I've already covered so much, I can't go back over all of this. But let me just introduce what I want to talk about this week by saying that one of the points that I was making is that Satan doesn't have this superhuman power and ability that we are fighting against. Now, that's probably the common belief. Most Christians actually present Satan as this formidable foe who just has this superhuman power and authority. One of the points that I've made, one of the main points that I've made, is that Satan actually came and deceived us and got us to submit unto him. And he has been using the power and the authority that God gave men over this earth. So Satan is actually using human power and authority. And this is why he has to have our cooperation and consent before he can do anything. Now, this is kind of a summary of a lot of the things that I've already talked about. If you've missed any of this, you must. I know that many of you are going to say, I don't have to do anything. But if you want to really prosper and see your authority begin to work as a Christian, you must get this truth. I just summarized something that it took me 2 or 3 weeks in this series to say, but that is a profound truth, and most people don't understand this. And it is nowhere more evident that this is not understood than among those who practice spiritual warfare and intercession. When you go to these spiritual warfare conferences, I guarantee you they present Satan as being this powerful force, and they talk about his demonic powers and that we've got to amass huge amount of prayer support and spiritual warfare to be able to overcome all of these things that Satan is doing. And that is not the way that the Scripture presents it at all. As a matter of fact, of course, the Bible talks about warfare, but let me use a Scripture that I've already referred to. In Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And then it goes on in verse 12 and says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." You'll often hear people take that verse 12 and talk about the hierarchy in Satan's kingdom, these principalities, powers, and rulers of the darkness in all of this. And they will talk about this, and then they will talk about how that there's principalities and powers over every city and over every nation and all of these things. And then they get into doing all this spiritual warfare. But if you take it in context, look at this in verse 11. It says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." If you look this word wiles up, it's talking about the lies, the deception, the cunningness, the craftiness of the devil. As I have already tried to present, Satan doesn't have a superhuman, angelic power that he oppresses people with. He only came to Adam and Eve through deception. I've already made mention of this. I'm not going to go back and teach it, but I just want to refer to it that in Genesis chapter 3, it says that he came to the serpent because the serpent was the most subtle. That means the most cunning, crafty, sly, deceptive of all of the animals. He didn't use an elephant or a mammoth to try and intimidate Eve. He didn't use a tiger to come and scare her and force her into submission, because Adam and Eve had complete control over all of the animal creation. They were the gods of this world. They had been created with absolute, total authority and control. No animal could come intimidate them and force them to do anything. And so Satan had to come and deceive them with words and with lies and with deception. And it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul was expressing concern, and he says, "I fear lest as Eve was beguiled through the subtlety of the serpent, likewise your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ." And he made a connection here. And he said, in the same way that Satan deceived Adam and Eve, that's how he's coming against us. And that's exactly what this verse is saying, that we have to take all of this armor unto ourselves so that we can stand against the wiles, the deception, the lies of the devil. Satan does not have the power to make anybody do anything. Contrary to what Flip Wilson said when he popularized this statement about, well, the devil made me do it. The devil can't make you do anything without your consent and cooperation. There are demonic powers and principalities and rulers of the darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. But people have blown that out of proportion, taken it out of context to where we are fighting these powers out here in the heavenly places. And you know, this week, I've already countered a lot of stuff. And I get people upset and mad at me all of the time. And you know, the people who are receiving what I say, they write in to me constantly and say, "Quit apologizing. Quit telling people that you're sorry for telling them the truth. You know, most of us are receiving this. Just forget the others." It's not that I'm apologizing. What I'm trying to do is say that, look, I'm aware that what I'm saying is different. I'm aware that this is offensive to a lot of people. And the reason I'm bringing this out is to try and say that I'm not insensitive to you. It's not like I'm just saying, "I don't care about you. Here's the truth. Accept it. Believe or receive. Doubt or do without." I'm trying to say that, look, at one time I was on the other side of the fence. I was the one who was doing all of this weirdness and spiritual warfare. And all I'm trying to do, I'm not apologizing for anything. I'm trying to sit there and just say that I'm sensitive. I'm aware that what I'm saying is different from everybody else. But at the same time, I'm telling you the truth, because the truth will set you free. And there is some of the most weird stuff in the body of Christ being done in the name of intercession and spiritual warfare. I really believe that if the Lord was to tarry for 100 years, I don't think He will. I think we are just right up to the end times. But if the Lord was to tarry for 100 years and people look back at church history to this time in the beginning of the 21st century, if people look back and see the things that are going on, I guarantee you the spiritual warfare, intercession movement, as it has been taught during the 1990s, the early part of the 2000s, is going to be a blight on the body of Christ. The weirdness, the foolishness that was done. I really believe that. And I know that that's offensive to a lot of people, but I'm just telling you, we're so close to it right now that we hear these things and see it, and we just don't see it for what it is. But if the Lord was to tarry and people look back, the weirdness. I've actually heard stories of women coming up, and I remember this one minister fell out under the power of the Holy Spirit, and a woman laid on top of him and for 30 minutes went through moanings and groanings and agonizing, and she was interceding and giving birth. Laying on top of this minister, a woman laying on top of a male minister, going through the motions, and she acted it out of giving birth, and she was doing intercession. And this wasn't done in a corner someplace. This was in a major meeting, thousands of people present, one of the leaders in the charismatic movement, and this is spiritual warfare. That's just weirdness. That is wrong. There is stuff being done today that is wrong. people are teaching that, you know, there's a church right here in Colorado Springs who's become one of the dominant churches. This was with a previous pastor. I loved all of these people. I'm not meaning to criticize. I know that there's going to be people who are friends of mine who hear this, and they're going to come out against me and criticize. But I'm just trying to put the light on some of the weirdness and the things that have been done. And they actually came in and saying that the heavens were brass over Colorado Springs, that we need to clear an opening, that we need to have open heavens over Colorado Springs so that our prayers can get up to God. And they said that there were these demonic principalities and powers that were calling oppression and crime and divorce and murder and all of these things because of the demonic powers that were ruling over Colorado Springs. So they came in and established a prayer deal, and they built all of these things so that there could be 24-hour prayer and that we could get an open heaven between us and God. And I'm going to go into more detail the rest of this week. I'm not going to say everything I got to say about that right now, but let me just point this out. That whole concept does not reflect New Testament reality. Now, there is some basis to what they're saying if you go to the Old Testament, and like, for instance, in Daniel chapter 9 and chapter 10, where there was the prince of Persia that withstood Daniel's prayer for 21 days, and that Michael had to come and help the messenger, and that there was this warfare going on. There is some precedent for that in the Old Testament, but that totally ignores the New Testament reality that in this new covenant that you and I live under, God isn't out there in heaven someplace, and our prayers have to get up through the heavenlies and reach out to heaven and reach God. That's not New Testament reality. In the New Testament, God moved on the inside of us. Every born-again believer has God living inside of them. And so this whole concept of a closed heaven and principalities that are keeping our prayers from getting unto God deny the fact that God lives on the inside of us. You don't need your prayers to get past the demonic powers in the heavenlies. You don't need your prayers to get above the ceiling. You don't need your prayers to get above your nose. God lives on the inside of you. If you would just use your head for something besides a hat rack, you could figure these things out, that we don't have to get our prayers past all of this stuff the way that it was in Daniel's day and David's day and Elijah's day. We now have God living on the inside of us. You know, that's why you bow your head when you pray, so that you can look at God. Amen. God's not out there somewhere. He's on the inside of us. And this whole spiritual warfare where our prayers are being blocked, oh God, come down. Oh God, rend the heavens and come down that you hear prayed so much. And again, that's a quotation from Isaiah. I think it's chapter 64, chapter 60, something right there. Rend the heavens and come down. It's an Old Testament scripture, but what they're missing is God rent the heavens and came down through Jesus. And when Jesus went back, He did not leave us comfortless. He sent the Holy Spirit to abide with us forever. And if you are praying an Old Testament prayer like David prayed in the 51st chapter of Psalms, where he says, "Take not your Holy Spirit from me, create in me a clean heart, and restore unto me the joy of my salvation." We not only pray that prayer, we sing that. There's songs that have been written about it. That was appropriate for David, but it's wrong for you and me today, because God now lives on the inside of us. He said He would never leave us nor forsake us. So for us to say, "Take not your Holy Spirit from me," is a total disbelief of what He promised He would do. It was appropriate for David to pray that. It's wrong for you or me to pray that. It's wrong for us to pray, "Rend the heavens and come down." It's wrong for us to try and get a clear heaven so that our prayers can get through to God. You're denying the fact that God lives on the inside of you. Man, wake up. I know that what I'm saying, again, is offensive. And many of you say, "Well, I've never heard this." Well, tell me where I'm wrong in this thinking. Take the Word of God, that God lives on the inside of us. The Comforter will never leave us. He will never forsake us. "Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." The 14th chapter of the book of John, Jesus promised that "I and my Father will come and make our abode with you." And we live on the inside of you. the scriptures that I used on my program yesterday out of Ephesians chapter 1, where he prayed that we would open up our eyes and see that we have the same power that raised Christ from the dead living on the inside of us. It's not out there somewhere. Tell me where I'm wrong in this thinking. You can't fault it. You can find religious tradition. You can sit there and say, well, that's not the way that we've done it. This is the way my parents and my grandparents and everybody, and this is the way it's been done for hundreds of years. But you can't show me in the Word of God where they sit there and do all of these things. You know, I'll expound on this in more detail as I go through the rest of this week, too. But I'm just kind of giving an introduction and summary to this portion of the teaching. But did you realize that there is zero precedent in the Bible, in the New Testament, for intercession and spiritual warfare the way it's practiced in the body of Christ today? Zero precedent. Jesus never, never, never organized intercessors to sit in the back room and just pray, or to go into an area before him and to open up the heavens and to break the demonic control and power. Jesus never did it. Paul never did it. Peter never did it. There is zero precedent for this in the New Testament. And yet there are people today that I guarantee you, I have people come up all the time. Who are your intercessors? Who is it that stands and holds up your hands and does all of this? And I tell them, well, I know that there's lots of people that pray for me and I appreciate it, but I don't have any intercessors on staff. I don't pray people. I don't pay people to do nothing but pray. And I just have people, they just gasp like, oh, you're uncovered. You don't have all of this going for you. And you know what? I hadn't got time to sit there and refute all of this, but I'm telling you that Jesus didn't do that. Paul didn't do it. Peter didn't do it. There isn't a scriptural precedent for this. This is a religious concept that comes from giving Satan an undue power and influence that the scripture never gave him. It comes by diminishing our authority, not understanding who we are in Christ. And it just comes from a gross misunderstanding of the Word of God. Actually, I'm going to be real bold here and just say this, that spiritual warfare, the way it's taught, now I believe that there is such a thing as spiritual warfare. I will refer to it sometimes in the positive. But spiritual warfare, the way it's taught in the body of Christ today, is actually a ploy of the devil. It's Satan. If you could imagine like an army, two armies fighting, what if one army had the ability to project a holograph and show tremendous troops and all of this stuff over here in one spot, and there was no reality to it. It was just a hologram. Well, you know what? The defending army would have to respond to that if they thought it was true, and they would have to allocate a lot of their resources, their troops, their armaments, and all of this. And what if you could get them to firing and wasting their arsenal on something that didn't even exist? Boy, what a tremendous military advantage to get your enemy fighting against a holographic army over here. You could have them expense time, effort, resources, ammunitions against it. It would weaken them and make them more susceptible to your attack. Well, in a sense, that's what Satan has done. Satan has blown his power and authority out of proportion. He's got the body of Christ over here holding conferences and traveling around the world, spending millions and millions of dollars to go do prayer walks and spiritual warfare and tear down the demonic powers over what was commonly called the 1040 window. They resurrected Diana of the Ephesians, and they're doing all of this spiritual warfare, and they're doing all of these things that, I'm saying this in love, but I'm saying it just as clear as I can, that it's useless. Amen. I know many of you are just livid. But again, I'm telling you that we are fighting against the wiles of the devil. Did you know that the warfare isn't in the heavenly places? The warfare is right between your ears. That's where the battle's going on. Satan is coming with lies, with deception. And this is the exact reason that Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Truth is the antidote to the lies and the deceptions of the devil. It's not all of this spiritual warfare. It's not all of this intercession and you binding all of these things. Yes, Satan exists. Yes, demons exist. Yes, they are a factor. Yes, like 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says, the God of this world has blinded the eyes of them that believe not. And so we need to come against this blindness. But how do you do it? Through prayer and intercession and binding these things? No, you do it by telling people the truth. You shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. It's the truth that breaks the dominion and the power that Satan holds over people. The reason Satan is able to exercise the control that he has over people is because of ignorance. Like it says in Hosea, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. The body of Christ is perishing. Satan is taking advantage. People are sick and poor and defeated and depressed because of ignorance of what is rightfully theirs, not because there's these demonic powers that we haven't prayed against enough. You know, if prayer and intercession and spiritual warfare would get the job done, then we should have moved into the millennium, because in the 1980s, 1990s, into the early 2000s, there has been all the prayer movements, the spiritual warfare movements. They have been doing this. There have been millions of people involved in this. And in case you haven't noticed, things don't seem to be moving towards the millennium in a positive way. They're moving in a negative way. It seems like our nations are becoming increasingly secular. Morality is on the wane. And a lot of it's because Satan has diverted the body of Christ into their prayer closet, praying and binding and doing all of these things instead of preaching the truth and telling people the truth. You know, I've got a lot more to say about this, but I'm getting towards the end of my program today. And the rest of this week, I'm going to go into specific scriptures and begin to show you things from scriptures that I believe will nail this down and make this crystal clear. But I kind of just gave a summary today and I countered a lot of things. And I know that there may be many of you that it's just like I pulled a rug out from under you and you feel, oh, well, man, these are things that I just totally embraced. And now you're telling me that this is wrong. Sometimes before you edify a person, you got to terrify them before they get edified. And this may have, taken away some of your comfort zone. But I'm telling you that there's a better way to deal with the devil than the way that most of us have been doing it, by giving him this undue power and authority and us having to get hundreds and thousands of people to pray and bind and loose. No, you just know the truth. The battle is right between your ears. And when you know the truth, I guarantee you, Satan cannot do anything to you without your consent and cooperation. And once you understand what the Word of God says, that truth will set you free. You can break free from sickness and poverty and lack and oppression and defeat and discouragement. The truth will set you free. And I'm seeing this in my own life and the people that I minister to. You know, I could spend hours right here just giving you testimonies. That last night I got a testimony of a person that was raised from the dead. Last week, miracles happening even among young people and stuff. And just, I tell you, the power of God is operating and we're doing it without all of the weird spiritual warfare that's going forth in the body of Christ today. I'm out of time today, but please listen as our announcer gives you some information about how to get these materials. Remember, this is my last week to be teaching on the believer's authority, so call or write today.
The Believer's Authority is available for the very first time in book form and can be ordered through bookstores nationwide. Or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. Request book T327 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. Request book T735. The Believer's Authority Companion Study Guide is available for a gift of $35 or more. Request Study Guide T427 when you contact the ministry. Andrew's complete teaching titled, The Believer's Authority, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on DVD for a gift of any amount. Request DVD album T3205D when you contact us. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV. It's available on either CD or DVD when you send a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1045C or DVD album T1045D when you contact us. The sixth teaching in the audio CD album titled The War Is in Your Mind is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this sixth CD free of charge. Request teaching number TL23 when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Or you can reach us through our website, where you can order ministry materials online at awmi.net. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today.
I know that many of you have been shocked today by some of the things that I said, and yet in your heart, I believe that there's a witness, that the Holy Spirit is bearing witness, and you recognize truth when you hear it. And some of you are saying, man, if this be true, I need to renew my mind. I need to get some things straightened out. You know, our materials, of course, these television programs are all intended to help share the truth with people. But really, the most in-depth way I have of sharing the truths that God has given me through the Scripture is through our Charis Bible Colleges. We have multiple colleges scattered around the world, as well as you can take it through correspondence. If you would call the number that's on your screen, you could inquire about that and you could begin to start taking advantage of our Charis Bible Colleges.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. He'll be in Amsterdam for the Eurospirit Conference May 21st through the 23rd, in Raleigh, North Carolina for a Gospel Truth Seminar June 11th through the 13th, and in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, June 29th through July 3rd. He'll also be in Durant, Oklahoma, July 30th and 31st, and in Boston, Massachusetts for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 6th through the 8th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
We're getting close to our Summer Family Bible Conference. It's going to be on June the 29th through July the 3rd, and it's going to be a great time for the whole family. We have children's ministry. We have it set up so that there are our CBC classes in the morning, but the afternoons are off, and then evening meetings. It's just a great time, and I believe that it could be a vacation for you and your whole family. The children will be blessed. So make plans to join me June the 29th through July the 3rd. For our Summer Family Bible Conference.
I really dislike religion, so much so that God has placed me in a country where it is so prevalent, it just chokes people, you know, it just chokes the breath out of them, and they're just lying there wondering if God loves them.